Hello everybody, today we continue to explore ancient Greece and we have been granted an exclusive fictional interview with one of the most important philosophers of Western civilization, Plato. Along with his glorious teacher Socrates and his most famous pupil Aristotle, Plato is considered as the father of the Western philosophy. He is also considered as the father of modern politics, science, and founder of one of the world's first known institutes of higher learning, the Academy in Athens. Professor Plato, we are extremely grateful for allowing us to interview you imaginarily in your world of shadows. We firstly need to thank you for letting us know about your mentor, Socrates. Without you, we would not know anything about Socrates, as he did not write anything.
I was a disciple of Socrates. He was so inspiring. I knew that he was so convinced about him knowing nothing that he refused to write anything. I could not accept that all his teachings, his methods of seeking the truth through questioning, would die with him. So I wrote as much as I could, remember, in order to keep his burning flame alive and inspire others. I most definitely could not accept that his voice would die without him. It would have been such a great loss.
The only problem is that your account is quite contrary with other accounts, such as ones from Xenophon, who was also a disciple of Socrates.
I've been informed in the shadows of the underworld that the different generations of scholars have been intrigued by the differences of our memories of Socrates. They have been invented an expression for our different accounts, the Socratic problem. Well, I think that as we are different, we have naturally different perceptions and interpretations of the same event. You should make the experiment yourself. Ask different people to describe the same individual and you can be sure the descriptions will be quite different.
But you're so much more than the biography of Socrates. You created a theory of forms to explain our world. Would you be so kind as to explain to us?
I tried to grasp a reality that was internal and immutable. The concepts of form are central to my philosophy, what are being named Platonism. In my theory of forms, or theory of ideas, which denies the reality of the material world, considering it only as an image, or a copy of the real world. Everything we know in our world is an imperfect replica of the real perfect world, which exists somewhere. So there can be no perfection in our imperfect world. There is somewhere beyond our knowledge an ideal world of forms or ideas which are mimicked in the false world phenomenon where we are alive. The phenomenon of our physical world that we experience, it is as flawed as a replica of the perfect ideal model that exists outside of space and time. Let's take an example of a physical object like a chair. What we know about chairs in our physical world are only imperfections, imitation of our perfect chair that outside in the material world. It is the same for abstract conceptions such as justice. In our imperfect world, we can only have imperfect justice. The perfect justice cannot exist in our imperfect material world where we live. However, somewhere out of time and space, there is an ideal perfect chair, an ideal justice in the ideal world of forms. So reality is divided into two regions. One region is the world of senses, where everything flows, nothing is permanent. The other region is the world where we need to use our reason, and where the ideas are eternal and immutable.
You claim that you were influenced by Socrates, who was your mentor, but your own pupil, the most renowned Western philosopher Aristotle, claims that you and Socrates were profoundly influenced by Pythagoras' teachings. What is your answer?
I won't deny the huge influence of Pythagoras, who was one of the first philosophers before my time. Remember what the theory of Pythagoras? He held all things are numbers, and the cosmos comes from numerical principles. He introduced the concept of form as distinct from matter, and that the physical world is an imitation of an internal mathematical world. So of course my theory of forms wasn't influenced by Pythagoras' philosophy. I was passionate about maths, because mathematically states never change. In mathematics, we can have a sense of true knowledge because we don't use our senses or our feelings, but we use our reason. It might even shock you, but I also believed in reincarnation, which is the teaching of most securely identified with Pythagoras. It means the transmigration of souls. Remember what I have explained to you about the reality being divided into two regions, the world of senses and the world of ideas, which is immutable. Well, I believe the man is also a dual creature with a flowing body bounded to the world of senses, but every man has an immortal soul. Every soul is immortal and upon death enters the new body. And your soul has been entered forms in the world of ideas before your soul has even taken residence in your body. So yes, definitely the ideas of Pythagoras influenced me deeply, but I tried to go further. Even if I understood this, most people are satisfied in living in the world shadows, refusing to go beyond the appearances. The appearances are the real nudity of them.
think that your theory of forms is your main contribution to philosophy?
It is certainly a dominant idea in my whole work. Forms are used throughout my work to explain different concepts such as knowledge, justice, many others. In my book, The Republic, I used an allegory narrated by Socrates, the allegory of the cave, to explain that we live in false reality. In this allegory, Socrates describes a group of people who have lived, changed the wall of a cave, all their lives facing a blank wall. The people watch shadow projectors of the wall from objects passing, in people front of the fire behind them, and gives names to those shadows. The real shadows are there for the prisoners, their reality, even if they're not real. Socrates explains how the philosopher is like a prisoner who is freed from the cave and comes to understand that the shadow on the wall are actually not real at all. A philosopher aims to understand and perceive the higher levels of reality. However, the other inmate of the cave does not desire to leave the prison, for they know no better life. They will eventually kill the cave dweller who has escaped and who come back to tell the truth. We are like prisoners. We are prisoners. For me, Socrates was like the cave dwellers because he disturbed their conventional world. So in fact, there are three high levels of knowledge and reality that exist. First, the natural science based on empirical evidence from observation and experimentation. Second, the deductive logic of the mathematics and the geometry. It is the process of reasoning from one or more premises or statements to reach a logical conclusion. If all premises are true and the terms are clear and the rules of deductive logic are respected, then the conclusion reached is true. It's a top-down logic. A third theory of forms, ideas or forms, are the non-physical, essential of all things, of which objects and matter in the physical world are merely imitations. I believe that we have printed somehow in our mind, in our eternal souls, the idea of the forms, and we therefore recognise all the different imperfect copies present in our world.
Is it because of this theory that you are so passionate about mathematics? Even if you are not a mathematician, you are obviously an impressive teacher of mathematics, as you taught the greatest mathematician of your time, Eudoxus of Cnidus, who has been teaching himself a major contributor to the Euclidean father of geometry.
I've always been passionate about mathematics, and I certainly love teaching mathematics as much as philosophy. As we already discussed, it was I, most certainly influenced by Pythagoras, who held all things are numbers. The cosmos comes from numerical principles. It is Pythagoras who introduced the concept of form as distinct form matter, and that the physical world is an imitation of an internal mathematical world. He introduced the concept of numbers that govern the universe. In mathematics, my mere contribution was to make the distinction between pure mathematics and applied mathematics.
Don't you think that by concentrating on the idea of proof and by insisting on the importance of establishing accurate definitions and clear hypotheses, you had a decisive influence on the progress of mathematics and science in general? It is an established fact that the most important mathematical work of the 4th century was done either by your friends or by your pupils.
I have to admit, I'm extremely excited to have laid the foundations for Euclid's systematic approach to maths by putting a focus on the importance of proof that they need to use accurate definitions and clear hypotheses. But I'm also very proud to have been the founder of one of the world's first known institutions of higher learning, the Academia of Athens. I can't stress enough, young man, the need for education. It should be the purpose of your young life, but as importantly, the purpose of your whole life.
You think you wrote one of the most influential works on politics, The Republic, which described an ideal society. But for us, this book is more dystopian than utopian, as you accept slavery, that children should be educated by the state away from their families.
You need, young man, to keep in mind this book was written by some 2,000 years ago, and of course societies and mentalities were very different. Physical force was more important. All the Athenian citizens were obliged to fight for their city. Wars were cruel and defeated were either slaughtered or taken as slaves. Nor note in fairness that I believe that women have the same reasoning power than men, which was very shocking at the time, when women could not be the Athenian citizens. In my ideal state, rulers and auxiliaries are not allowed family life or private property to prevent corruption. The education of children is too important to be left to individuals and should be the responsibility of the state, which needs to provide full-time education.
I'm not sure to agree to that. It seems more like a nightmare to me.
You need to think about the common good, not your selfish comfort. My aim in founding the state was not the disproportional happiness of any one class, but the greatest happiness of the whole. I firmly believe that in state order should be with a view of the good of the whole world. We should be likely to find justice. But I have to admit that most people at my time were firmly against requirements to abandon private property and cut family ties. So years later, I tried to make concessions to the public outrage when I wrote a later book, The Laws. I stepped down, imagining a constitution as the next best regime, where private property was allowed, where education was the responsibility of parents, and where women freedom were reduced, even if I kept thinking about these concessions were not satisfying.
The other element that we find shocking is that you were against democracy.
As Socrates, I was against democracy as it follows the citizen's impulse rather than pursuing the common good. I analysed five types of government: aristocracy, timocracy, where only property owners may participate in governance; oligarchy, usually the wealthy rule; democracy and tyranny, a leader who rules without law. I believe that the best type of government is aristocracy. I consider that society is divided into three classes. The producers, the majority that have iron soul, they have to work and earn money. They're the only ones who can own property. The auxiliary is made up of soldiers whose souls are made up of silver and whose jobs is the state is to force on the majority the order established by the philosophers. And the guardians. Guardians are responsible for ruling the city. They are chosen from among the ranks of the auxiliaries, but these rulers must be trained as philosophers from childhood to make sure they are good rulers. This regime is ruled by this philosopher king, and thus is grounded in wisdom and reason. Five regimes progressively degenerated, as starting with aristocracy at the top and tyranny at the bottom. I identify political justice as harmony in society. In essence, my political philosophy is characterised by rationalism. The creation of a good state depends on its governed with reason, just as your head may govern your body. So, philosophers must rule the society.
Unfortunately, we have lost our exclusive imaginary connection with Plato. Maybe his soul was called for a new body, which of course would be a treat for the years to come. If you are stunned by Plato's theory of ideas, don't worry, you are not the only one. 2,500 years ago, and we are still discussing them. Meanwhile, don't forget to stay safe, stay tuned for more to come soon. Be prepared.